Mr. Alan Hay, Rio 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, please?
South Shields, 1912.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a master plumber.
And how many were there in the family?
I had an older brother and a younger sister.
And did you have a happy childhood? Could you tell us a little about it?
Very happy. Yes,
was your father in regular employment? As
yes.
So, did the Depression have much of an impact on your family?
Yes, very much. He had this small business in Jericho, which of course was the centre where the worst hit by the Depression, and things were very, very tight, very hard. And this had an effect on the education I was going to have.
What education did you have?
Well, I went to the local higher grade school and I passed my examinations to Gornick Grammar School. But with the Depression, my father's elder brother, who was an accountant, said there was an opportunity to come into my office. And so I was booked away from school and started in the accountancy.
And that would be at 14 then?
Yes.
And what about your work as an apprentice accountant? What were you doing during before the war?
Before the war, well, I got into the local property club and I enjoyed it very much. And across the road from me, which is about my age, and he suddenly appeared in khaki uniform, which was rolled cadets, which I knew about, but he got into band. And here's one, Jack Brimer. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a virtuoso on a clarinet, number one in England or Europe. Very well, but I did notice him in the early days. It didn't inspire me to join the cadets, but I noticed them and I knew about the band and the boys.
Had you been in any of the other boys' organisations, sort of Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts, anything like that?
I was in everything. We were a church going family.
Which church?
St. Louis, I assume. And that was compulsory. I wasn't a good singer, and I think I faked my voice so that I didn't have to go. It was a parish church, and four services on a Sunday, including Sunday school, two choir practices every week, and Wednesday and Saturday evening song. And just, I didn't go for.
That was CV, was it?
CV, yes, the parish church. And I don't think I had it singing voice, but anyhow, I still had to go to church services. And there was a thing called the Church Lads Brigade, which was very strong with CV. And they were khaki uniforms, but that was the Church Lads Brigade. But before that, you could get into the junior thing where you got a cap and you got a haversack and a belt and that. I rather fancied that, I think I only joined for the hat and the belt. And I never got into this in there because it disbanded. But then, being at church, they formed the Scouts. And I went through the Scouts and became a Cub Master and Assistant Scout Master and then Scout Master.
What sort of activities were the Scouts doing? Was there a military tinge to them at all? Because they'd started off quite military, then after the war.
No, but we used to go particularly across to what we call the north side of Northumberland, Hollyford Dean, which is six miles away. But we used to go camping there a lot, and then I got a bicycle and took one or two cars, so we used to go off into the country. So, particularly weekends, this was before I got into the rugby teams. But so I spent a lot of time outdoors and going off to these other channels.
Was not much drill then with the boys? That was
no. We had a good man who taught us how to build bridges and from that. But no, there wasn't no military side to it. I played the drum at one time and marched down the main streets. I was really embarrassed about that, so I gave up.
Had your father been in the war?
No, but he was an apprentice drummer. Works on this. But my mother's brother, 17-year-old, he was killed. He hadn't been going very long. He was killed.
Now, so you'd been in all these boys' organisations. You'd become aware of the cadets.
Yes.
But you hadn't joined at that stage. What eventually made you join?
Well, you had to be invited. I wasn't going to be a trooper or a private.
Why not?
At that time, I had been a bit of a leader in the scouts, and you had to be invited to be an officer. And I had one or two chums who were officers, and they used to have what they called dugout suppers. They had two mission huts. This was before 1936. They had two different. That's where they met and drilled. The officers used to have these that had suppers and dinners and get on with time. So I've been to one or two of these. The commander was one, Colonel Edwards, who had the docks at Sunshine's. He was the mainspring of the whole thing, and he was a good rugby enthusiast. And he was secretary for Northumberland Rugby Union, and eventually became president of the Rugby Union. Anyhow, he saw me playing for the juniors against Northumberland, and looked down the program, and saw I was a South Shields chap, and spoke to me after this particular game. He said, "Haven't I seen you before?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "So is that?" I said, "The dugouts." I said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Are you interested in the cadets?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "See me tomorrow morning at the drill hall, then again." So I went down. Then I thought, they were just building a new drill hall then.
Where was that?
In South Shields.
I mean, which road, do you remember?
Oh, London, then called Westfield, just opposite the road, Westfield. But they'd raised the money themselves because they were a very strong organisation, the cadets. They had four rifle companies and a very big band of blues. The rifle companies were based first on the Mega Docks, and then the second company was on Redhead's Docks, and the third was on the Yorker Secondary School, and the fourth. Which is what they call the town company. But when I joined, it used to turn out about 600 strong.
And what was the full name of the cadet battalion?
First Cadet Battalion at Dunlap Infantry.
So what happened when he turned up at 11 o'clock?
He just asked me a few questions.
What type of questions? What did he want to know to make sure you were suitable as an officer?
I don't think anything really. I think my face just fitted. And the fact that I was friendly with others, I played rugby, and I don't think there were any stringent questions asked. The thing about the cadets, though, was you had to buy your own uniform. Whereas if you joined the territorial, which you got a £40 grant. Anyhow, one's friends helped. And I was told someone was due to leave who had uniforms in good condition, and that, I think, was the turning point, that it wasn't going to cost me a lot of money to get kitted out.
And when did you join? Do you remember the date?
It would, I could almost think of, it'd be April 1936.
Now, what were the actual differences between the cadets and the territorials? Just for could you explain for people? Because they won't be familiar with.
Well, the cadets was, of course, the junior army youth organization of the army, sponsored by the army. They were given the kit and the uniforms, but officers only had what they called Lord Lieutenant's commissions.
It was all drill. Of course, they were making the money from having these tattoos. And this is how they raised the money to build their new hall. There wasn't much weapon instruction because we didn't have modern weapons. The rifles we had weren't Lee Enfields, they were an American thing with the striker things removed, but these were purely for drill purposes. No, not these. We did go on occasional weekends to Woodburn Ranges, which is about 4 miles away, and did some live shooting, but this was very strictly controlled, of course, because all cadets hadn't been used to handling rifles. No. Well, with rifles, of course, it was just coordination to start with, so it looked good. And the light infantry, of course, movements are different, but it was just fun to look good because they went to camps and paraded and trailed the rifles and so on. It was just for show. Oh, yes, well, there were instructors that went there, and of course, the Territorial Army and also certain regular units went there to do their firing practice. So we were taught properly how to shoot, but of course, you couldn't take 600 kids there to let off rifles. But there were three seniors who were selected. Yes. Oh, I enjoyed it. But then again, I had to take charge of what they call the fifth party and get down by where the targets went up and down and stick bits of paper over the holes. Yes, so I learned that little bit before I actually got to the army proper.
What about the things? What were they like?
Super. yes, the lorry. He became Sir Laurie Edwards, could always get the DLI band that was on home service. Plus, he could always get a Highland regiment. And, of course, the area was quite full of territorial bands. That was the basis of it. We always got the Royal Corps signals display. And then he added one or two. But were put on very well at the place called Horsley Hill Stadium, which was west of the district. But extremely well supported. Of course, the local engineers put on the searchlights. But, the place was full. It was lovely. But they went very well because there was only one rehearsal on the Sunday before, and they were on for 3 nights. And they went extremely well. People came from far near to see them.
But a lot of your training was practicing
too. Yes, and when we went to camp, I went to 3 camps which were all in the same place, nearest in Yorkshire, and that was all training for tattoo because the troops marched on and they trained very well. But yes, there wasn't much of a military about our training. Yes.
Did you understand the behind
Not really, except that you're so that you can make any mistakes. You follow procedures, particularly when you're an officer, marching on, marching off, taking up position. We were very strict about it. There was no sloppiness about it. It was very good. Best week I ever had in the year. The organization, just being in a military environment all the time, and we were affiliated to the 9th Battalion of Gunnery Infantry, and they used to let us have their bugles and drums to augment our band, but the bugles, they were given to us as backmen, so it was great to have a servant and junior gear. But we had lots of distinguished bugles. We always had the GOC Northern Command came. We had the civic dignitaries from the town. But there's a lot of showmanship, but it was done very well because this had gone on for a lot of years, and similarly it was with the docks. Gave employment to a lot of chaps who were leaving the regular battalions. And so he built up a neatness of people, particularly starting with the bandmaster. He gave a few bandmasters jobs. And storekeepers, regimental sergeant majors, the nucleus was there of people who knew and had their experience. None whatsoever. We you're up in the morning getting dressed, and we went, of course, but everybody had to be outright and put outside with tents, tented camps, of course. And then the morning parade marched through the town of Naresborough to fields some distance away where the practice would start for the tattoo. Afterwards, unless one was for the officer, the time would be wrong. The people in Naresborough were very good. The mail was going along. But it was a holiday for 600 kids from this environment where things weren't so good. So, oh, yes. Well, that was an officer, but the other, 13 and a half up to 17, and they had to be a certain height. But when they're getting towards camp, you find them coming along in their Wellington boots to John, but they're going to use the stuff to fear that they give them that extra inch of height. Yes. Well, except for, yes, mostly, but the secondary school company was higher standard, and a lot of the officers, potential officers, came from the company. I suppose there had to be something come out of it because I'd been used to going off, packing a bag, going off myself with my food and, well, with 1 or 2 hours and being self sufficient for 2 or 3 days. No, did once a year go up to the PLI depot, which was in Fenham, Newcastle, and we were selected because they couldn't take everyone. And we saw how the people went on. A few of us picked it up. Nobody's fit, but very correct all the way. And so we knew, and again, we just correct each other. And we've all really correct. We have to step out in line. Drilled with rifles, that was the only difference.
What was the
Well, the cadet battalion had quite a number of senior First World War officers, one of whom I did come into contact later. Major Robinson, MC, who was a quartermaster type and looked after stores and quartermastering for the battalion when we were in camp. Didn't see much other than that. And later, when I went to the 13th Home Defense Battalion in 1940, he was there, still doing the same old thing. He was still a few quartermastering tricks on his feet. Didn't look up, no, not in particular. Anyway, just wondered why these old chaps wanted, because we were all having, we were laughing about having fun and getting, you know, a laugh out of the whole thing, and just wondered why the old chaps bothered. Oh, yes, based here. Well, seeing I'm a trustee for it, and I go most Monday evenings, it is when the hall was built, everything had to be of the very best. And even the furniture was leather, green leather covered with the embossed with the BNI badge. The walls were panelled and they still shine to this day, and the furniture was of the very best. Our cutlery was all BLI plates that badged. It was a very superior unit, and if I say things are much superior to what some of the TA units had. Yes, yes, always observed. Well, when one entered the mess, one had to look to see if the seal was there, and stand attention to the person, you know, and then continue. Or if he wasn't there, if he were just benign, whether they came, you the rules, I just stood still, you know. And somebody went when he was leaving. But on the dinners, they were very, very correct, going according to the rules and regulations of the regular battalions. I was lucky. I got my hands on a book of their codes of conduct. I don't remember how I got it, somebody here, but it put me one up on many people, said, you don't do that, you don't, particularly when I got away into the army proper. I can't think that there was anything we didn't talk about. in the Gazette. You know. Well, the CEO was the leader, and when there was a procedure after the guy says the mess was done, and then he went to room upstairs, and then he get into a circle, and the CEO do little songs, handing out the washing, and we all fell in. And we had this own particular thing. There was one or two who were a few. Nelly, she was pretty. Nelly, she was pretty. And somebody, you know, used to say, now don't forget, gentlemen, when you come to tippy, it is soft. But time after time, almost the same thing, but we sang songs, we went through the road, and then he would get caught, and then we'd have our. But yes, he was very much the leader. Yes, yes. And we had to be very careful because I see this furniture was very old. And I just say to this day to my dirty colleagues who come, I said, it is remarkable how this furniture has passed. We've had to have certain things for them. But it was stout. And it did stand up to a lot of old usage. It was just as stupid as anybody else.
How often did you go to
the well, I went once a week to a parade. Yes. It was a Tuesday night. Because it interfered with rugby training. And I swear we all had our Peter mugs and we obviously bought our own things, which had a after the run. But we had an old retainer, an old regular one, Sergeant Manson. When you pressed the bell, you knew he was rushing around, putting his coat on and buttoning his coat, and he'd say, years, and he would bring it back. He opened the bottles of Newcastle Brown Ale, there was no and we had our beers. But on guest nights, there was a lot of protocol because we used to get quite a number of generals coming. And this again, it made me unafraid of senior officers because. At one stage, I'd be sitting next to the GOC Seymour in command. And Laurie Edwards always used to ask serving colonels of the TA units. And, you know, they just chatted away to us. And so I had no fear of officers when I was coming down. Yes, yes. And we were always told that we had these people. Never let you see officers of this unit talk to each other. He's talking to somebody else in charge. This is an order. We follow it. Oh, well, I knew a lot of them because they were rugby playing boys. But of course, the territorials never came in as far as that I could have afforded it. You know, we didn't. Yeah. I think it was just the feeling that I couldn't afford it. You know, they had more parties more often than I thought they drank a bit much. And I thought, well, I can't face this bills the way they did. We used to go and have parties. We were invited. I was happier with the cadets.